Coming up, lots to talk about on another big week for UK radio. Kerry Jones will be here to tell us about an appeal for help at one of the UK's smallest radio stations. And our regulars, James Cridland and David Lloyd, will be here as well.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics. Innovative solutions for creative radio people.
Yes, hello, I'm Stuart Clarkson, Radio Today's editor, founder, executive president, chief elf. Roy Martin is back for 2019. Hello, Roy.
Chief elf, that's a new one. That was the Christmas reference, I think.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Delete that one.
Yeah. Let's get rid of that. Hi. How are you?
All right, yeah, good. You? Did you have a good one?
Yes, well, I was back last week. Obviously, you weren't, slacker.
May I be the last to say Happy New Year?
I hope you are the very last. Well, it's been another busy week in radio. This little thing called Radio 2 happened. Four new shows in one day on Monday. Zoe and Sarah starting on Monday as well. The first time Radio 2 have changed their breakfast and drive time shows on the same day since
2010 when Chris and Simon.
That's right, yes.
Yeah.
We'll talk about them Chris, later.
Yeah, yeah, we will talk about them later because they're in the news.
Yeah, so if you missed it, if you've been under a rock, here's a little bit of what Zoe and Sarah got up to on Monday this week.
Hello, my name is Zoe. How's your belly off for spots? Good morning, Radio 2 superstar listeners. Here we go.
BBC Radio 2.
Oh, and relax after all the build-up and all the chat and all the preamble. The big day is finally here. We are so super excited. I'm ready. The prod squad team, they're ready. Karen Kay tweeted she's got new batteries fitted in the bathroom radio. So she's ready. So first record, what's it going to be?
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yo, yo, yo.
Who are you diddling then?
And wasn't Zoe fantastic this morning? Look, it's 5:05. Should we do it? Should we? Go on then. Hey, shall I say a big thank you to Steve Wright as well for a spectacular show? Gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome along to your tea time extravaganza. This is the Sarah Cox Show. My name is surprisingly Sarah Cox. And between now and seven, we'll be lobbing loads of fun stuff at your lobes. 88 291, if you do like Mondays, tell me why. Also, that's the number for AOBB, any other business, baby. Also on the show, we'll play 21 questions to go, making a spectacle out of myself in the wrong glasses. First and last, pop on a cummerbund for the very first ever Sarah Awards. Now, I'm excited. Ken Bruce is excited.
I tend to like to go out naked from the waist up with a scythe in the pole dark fashion.
Good grief. Easy, fella. Did I mention, by the way, we're going to play some brilliant music.
So what did we think?
I mean, we should never pass judgment on the first show or the first couple of shows, so we won't. Moving on.
I set my alarm for Zoe, and I thought it was good. It was an interesting listen. It was a nice listen. It was a safe listen. I just thought it sounded like a Radio 2 breakfast show. It didn't sound like anything particularly shiny and new. It just sounded like the Radio 2 breakfast show has sounded for the last few years.
Yeah, it sounded established already on the first show, which is always a good thing. Lots of features in there, always something going on. She was always talking about something rather than just babbling on like we do. But it was good. There was a point to every link, and that was good. And that's Zoe, isn't it? So I think she'll still be there in, you know, what, 5-10 years' time?
Yeah, and I think I've heard other people say they kind of pile it high with features to start, but how many of them will make it to the third month? We're not sure. It seemed like there were quite a lot of features with different stuff going on every day, and certainly on drive time, I listened to a bit of Sarah on her first day as well, and she seemed to be talking about a lot of features and content. So the producers and Sarah have obviously come up with lots of ideas. Let's throw them all into the show. They'll see what works, and then they'll probably lose a few.
Yeah, and that's what it's all about. So, they'll all bed in nicely, I think, and it'll become the norm. We'll say Chris who, and Simon and Joe who, for them two shows. And I think Trevor was sounding good on Rhythm Nation. and also Joe as well. It just, I mean, it's Radio 2. It's not going to sound shit, is it? It's going to sound really good because they're all professionals and they know what they're doing and they've got 10 producers each. So it's going to sound good. It's just whether the listeners take to it or not.
And I heard a bit of Joe in the car on Monday night, and she just sounded like she was back home on evenings. And I saw she tweeted on Monday night, simply fizzing with happiness about the sound of Radio 2 today with Zoe and Sarah and Trevor. And I'm so happy with a new show I could pop. Love my job. Love the evening gang. It's good to hang out with you all once more. Let's do it all over again tomorrow. So you can just see she's glad to be out of drive time and back on evenings.
I think it's strange because all this is positive. Everything I'm hearing from people is that the changes at Radio 2 are positive. There's nothing, normally you get a lot of negativity of people leaving and people moving around, but this one, it seems to be everybody's happy with what they've got. Certainly, there's no rivalry between Zoe and Sarah, which...
Oh, is there not? I thought they hated each other. No. I've been reading The Sun. Is that not true?
That's the... Yeah. It's not going to happen, is it? Truth and The Sun...
The headline says it's the truth about the bitter row or something like that. It's not truth then? It's not true?
Sorry to break it to you. In fact, should we ask the girls if it's true or not? Should we ask
Why
them
not?
What they think?
We get pitted against each other all the time, and sometimes people try to say there's rivalry between us, and I said that you and I, when they say things like that, it always reminds me of French and Saunders as Bette and Joan. You know, that image?
You send me that picture.
It always makes me laugh.
I'm guessing it's just two women who were dead good pals and are still pals, but then they both each get a job they're really happy with. Just isn't an exciting headline.
Exactly.
So instead they've gone with this rival ball cock shocker exclusive, which is all a load of nonsense because I love you, babe.
So there we are from the horses' mouths, Sarah and Zoe on Monday morning saying it's absolute nonsense and they are the best of friends.
I think we knew that as soon as Dan tweeted it. But yeah, let's move on.
So there's a small match of another radio breakfast show starting next week. That's Chris Evans. Virgin has gone on Sky and Freesat in the last couple of weeks. So they've got this Chilled and Anthem spin-offs, and we're starting to see some of the adverts now for the new Chris Evans breakfast show, which appear to have all been filmed in his house.
Yeah, I don't mind me doing massive amount of publicity for the show. Do I have to leave my house, though? but the kids are here, and the wife's on maternity. Can they join in? Oh, that's fine. Yeah, bring the camera crew. I'll be around Monday morning. You can have me for an hour on Monday morning. Fantastic. Let's do it.
So, so Eli and Noah and Natasha, Chris's wife and two of his children, are in the promo. And it's quite a nice little creative with the analogue signal, not being able to hear what he's saying, and then Noah presses the button on the radio and suddenly it's all crystal clear. Hopefully it'll work like that in real life.
Yeah, I like it. It's very creative and it promotes radio, which is a good thing. Goodness knows how much publicity news will be throwing at Chris Evans. I don't think we've seen half of it yet. So for all that, for Sky and for news and, you know, all that publicity that's going to be going on for Chris Evans' show for commercial radio, that's got to be a good thing, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Definitely looking forward to it. And I'm looking forward to tuning into Chris back on Virgin. I remember listening to him on his first day on Virgin in, when would it have been? Like 98, was it? Same day as Zoe started, wasn't it? So, 21 years ago. So 20 and a bit years ago. So looking forward to that moment. And it's going to be another big news event, I think, because Zoe's launch on Radio 2 Breakfast this week got a bit of news coverage in the papers and on the telly. I'm sure Chris will get the same next week.
Huge amount.
And we will be talking, fingers crossed, to Chris's boss on this podcast next week.
Rupert's coming on, is he?
I thought you were going to say his wife's coming on, is she? No, Francis Curry. We've got semi-confirmation that Francis Curry will be with us next week, so we'll look forward to chatting to Francis all about the new Virgin Radio with Chris Evans at the helm. Another new station this week, Greatest Hits Radio. They were talking about it on the roundtable. The new live mid-morning show has begun this week with Mark Goodyear on. It's great to hear Mark back on Daily Radio.
Did he bring the best music with him? Because I hear he has the best music.
He's the man who's got it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Did he bring it with him? think he did, didn't he?
He must have done. In there. He must have done, yes. So good luck to Mark and the team at Greatest Hits. I saw Simon Mayo tweeting a good luck message to Mark Goodyear on Monday as well for his new show and promoting the Bauer station.
So, Simon Mayo, are we doing this now?
Let's do this now. So where is Simon Mayo going? Where's he going?
Where's he going? Well, we know, apparently.
Do we?
Yeah, it was on Digital Spy. Not that I read it, obviously. That's what everybody says. Radio Today knows where he's going. Everybody knows where he's going, but nobody's saying. Mm-hmm. It's really because nobody knows. It's a really good secret. But we've got a theory, haven't we?
We've got a few theories, and I don't think it's smooth. Before anybody says that, and I don't think it's Virgin either.
Well, it was smooth because Dan said it, so it must have been true. Then it was Virgin because, just because, the new station and all that.
And there was his startling tweet. Simon Mayo said his news would be startling, and everybody thought, oh, there's a star in the Virgin Radio logo.
Yeah, so that's where that came from. But this week he's tweeted that new stations are being made. Being created.
Yeah, so this was when Zoe launched Breakfast. He said, elsewhere, whole new radio stations are being planned with you soon-ish.
So there's obviously a new radio station being launched or built, maybe just for him or to have him at the helm. So that puts him on Breakfast or Drive. Who is in the market for launching new radio stations? So would Global do a new station? No, if they wanted Simon Mayo, they'd stick him on, what, LBC or Classic?
Or Smooth, yeah, bit of all sorts.
Or Smooth, but the take the talks broke down, apparently. Wireless possibility. They've got Harper Collins. He likes his books and podcasts. Mm-hmm. Would he go
to... They've got Talk Radio. They've got Virgin.
To News. He could be on either of those. Mm-hmm. Or, who's the other guys? Bauer,
yes.
Is he going to Bauer? What's Bauer been up to recently? Is there any clues there, Stuart?
Well, they've been launching Hits Radio, and that might roll out in 2019 to other markets as well, on FM possibly. They've also just changed all their two stations to Greatest Hits Radio, as we know. And at the same time they were doing that, people have been noticing that the bit rates on DAB have changed. And so in those markets where you've got a two station, a medium wave station that's on DAB as well, they've reduced the bit rate, the quality that it's broadcasting in on DAB, down from, in some cases, 112 down to 80. And so as a result of that, they've got some extra capacity on the multiplexes that they own. So they could slap another station on.
They could be launching a new radio station, which Simon Mayo has alluded to, that he's going to be on a new radio station. So
we've nearly got there.
Let's take two and two and end up with 68 and predict that Simon Mayo is going to be working for Bauer on a new radio station doing one of the peak shows. What do you think?
I think that's a fairly good theory, but we'll have to wait till next week to see what happens.
So I predicted that Bauer would launch a country music station this year. Do you think Simon Mayo is going to be going country?
I don't know. We'll have to see. Maybe countrywide.
Countrywide. Or would it be another station? Because somebody also said that Bauer are launching a few new stations this year. So it could be... Maybe they're doing a speech station and he's going to be on that.
Yeah, if you look at what Global have got and what Wireless have got, they've got LBC, they've got Talk Radio, but Bauer don't have a speech station. So there we go. We have, of course, asked Bauer and they don't comment on speculation.
That's just all I get from them these days. Like, are you doing this? Can't comment. Are you doing that? Can't comment. But I hear that the announcement is due in the next 7 days.
Oh.
Yes, I heard that. So watch this space. We'll have it on radiotoday.co.uk.
Excellent. Well, that was all very interesting. Now, talking of Simon Mayo, let's move on to something a bit more serious. He was one of the many people paying tribute this week to Dionne Oxbury, who sadly died from cancer this week, aged just 51. Now, Dionne was a presenter on Radio Manchester in the noughties, but she's known to lots of people across the industry from her time at Radio 1, where she was part of Simon, Rod, Dionne and You. You can remember the jingle, the breakfast show in the early 90s. Simon was on Radio Manchester on Friday last week, talking about her.
Dionne was part of the production team. She would sit outside the Radio 1 studios and do music blogging and various things like that. But whenever you spoke to her, she was very... sparky and charismatic and edgy and funny and just great to be with. So I think Steve spotted that first, and I spoke to him yesterday just to get the facts right, and he just included her in as part of the afternoon team and telling stories and being part of that. And then on breakfast, and Jackie Brambles, who was her great friend, moved on because she'd been on breakfast. And then Diane was just a natural fit. And so even though in theory the job was weather and travel and all that kind of something, which she embraced completely, she kind of filled the studio. You know, she was a very charismatic presence, very warm, very funny, very sharp.
We all feel a great sense of loss, but I think that it's hard to explain just what a warm person she was and how much joy she brought into the lives of many people, family and friends and people she didn't know. And there'll be a big hole here at the BBC. And as Roger Johnson said earlier, she was a reluctant celebrity. She didn't care about the fame. It wasn't about that. She was a communicator.
It's
and
like
that huge smile.
A Twitter, even, you know, it was all about her cats and her dogs. And we always laughed because we called her a pet collector.
Yeah.
Because she did just used to collect these random pets and homeless animals and things like that. And that was being at home and being with Ian and being with the kids and being with the dogs and the horses and the cats and everything else in between was where she probably felt most at peace, I think, was it?
Yeah, oh, definitely. And that brings back the ordinariness in an extraordinary person. And the clip she played just before the news at 8 showed you just what a great interviewer she was, because we call them interviews, but actually the best interviews are just conversations.
Chats, yeah.
And the objective is to get the best out of people. And she did that wonderfully. She was so engaged. She was one of us. She was an every man's person, wasn't she?
That's Diane Oxbury's Radio Manchester breakfast co-host Eamon O'Neill there. Before him, you heard Simon Mayo. And if, like Roy and me, you've lived at any point in your life in the northwest of England, you'll probably know Diane from Northwest Tonight. We both watched that emotional Northwest Tonight they did on Friday to pay tribute to her, and it was not a dry eye in the house.
It was very emotional. She's one of these people that... she smiles a lot. She's always happy, and she infects that on other people. And when you're watching her, I remember watching her over, you know, having tea as a kid coming home from school or whatever. And
she only started in the mid-90s. You weren't a kid then. Get over it.
Of course I was. I'm only 30, you know. And, yeah, she's just always been... I've never met her. I'd love to have met her and said hi, but, you know, paths never crossed. But, yeah, just so sad when... just out of the blue, because she was tweeting right up until, I think it was beginning of December, saying she's doing stuff and she's happy, and she went on the big walk for charity in November. So whatever, you know, it must have come on quite quickly. It was just very sad.
Thoughts with Diane's friends and family and colleagues at the BBC in Manchester at Northwest Tonight and Radio Manchester. I know it was a big effort to put together some of those programmes and kind of up people to have to break that news to listeners that they did back end of last week. Right, let's look at some other news this week. Staying in Manchester, they've got a new radio station on DAB in the city this week. Russ and Jono are back as well on Fix Radio.
Good morning, I'm Graham Mack, and this is Manchester, in the heart of Britain's northern powerhouse. A city that started out as the Roman fortress of Mancunium. The people who laid the foundations for this great city literally laid the foundations, because they were builders and tradespeople. Today, Manchester's famous for its architecture, its culture, music, sport, media, science, and engineering. None of it would be here without builders and trades, because you made the buildings that became the homes, the schools, the universities, railway stations, the factories, the studios, the clubs, the theatres, the stadiums, everything. Well, now we're building something for you. Your own radio station. This is the station for builders and tradespeople. Fix Radio, Manchester.
Love it. This is Manchester, but you know what? There's a new station launching in Manchester every week at the moment, by the looks of it.
I'm thinking of all those Roman plumbers in Mancunia building the Roman spa baths or whatever they were doing.
they built everything. They built that city on rock and roll. Oh, no, that was the wrong stage. That was London's launch, wasn't it?
I heard a bit of Russ and Jono on Fix Radio as well on Monday lunchtime. I was listening to a lot of different radio stations this week.
You were, busy.
And they were sounding good. I don't know whether that show is when it's pre-recorded or whether it's live or what. I'm guessing it's recorded.
Very pre-recorded.
Yeah, but... Yes. There we are. So good luck to Fix on air in Manchester now with a local breakfast show for Manchester and then the rest of the output from the main national stroke London station. What else has been going on this week? Oh, Charlie Sloth. Apparently he's joined Beats One. Who knew?
Get away.
Yes.
didn't see that coming.
It was, I think I asked him that question in like October and he kind of, no comment, bud.
He did, yeah. He then went on stage and started to abuse people. So it's your fault.
But yes, it's all official now. He's doing a Saturday rap show on Beats One. So good luck to
him. He must be getting paid. He's left Radio One to do a show on an internet radio station. He must be getting paid a lot of money by Apple to do that.
Quite.
Good luck to him.
Yes, absolutely. It was Dave Grohl's birthday this week. You might have not missed that if you're a listener to one of the guitar-based radio stations. Mm. Virgin and Absolute were doing things to market, and Radio X went Radio Grohl.
They did. I now know how to spell Grohl without looking twice after writing the story about it.
It's an interesting idea. Was that? Do you think that was to divert attention from, you know, Zoe Ball having a new breakfast show on Monday morning, and we're just going to change our name?
No, I don't think so. I don't think they've made any impact with that. I think it's just what they do. So yeah, good luck to them.
Kelly Brook has joined Global. She's going to do Drive on Heart London. Not breakfast.
Why did somebody say she was going to do the breakfast show, Stuart?
Apparently, yeah.
Was it somebody in a newspaper by any chance?
Was it Dan Wootton again at The Sun?
I don't know. Probably. Sounds like something he'd write.
We'll have to get him on the podcast. I've got his number. Should we ring him and get him on one week?
Let's get him on and see what predictions he's got for 2019.
Give us some fake radio news.
Yay. I'm gutted that account doesn't work anymore. Whoever ran fake radio news, can you please bring it back? Because it was very funny.
Some random rubbish on there, wasn't there?
It was good.
Yeah, Kelly Brook doing Heart London Drive with JK, so there we are. We don't know who's going to replace Emma on Heart Breakfast yet, though. They've not announced that, have they?
They haven't, but they will announce very soon.
Oh. Yes. Alex Lester, the other week, since we've been off, finished on BBC WM Breakfast. They've got a new breakfast show this week. He's still going to be doing Saturday nights, I think, across the Midlands, but end of daily radio for Alex, which was a big shame.
And a shock as well. Nobody saw that coming. I guess it was his 2-year contract period. Shame. And hopefully he'll be back.
And other stories you might miss this week. Sam Bailey appointed the new managing director of the Audio Content Fund, government money which is going to be going to radio stations to do kind of public service broadcast stuff. That starts his role from the 1st of April, and hopefully we'll get him on the podcast later in the spring to tell us about that. And the New York Radio Awards have opened for entries as we begin our 2019 season of radio events and awards, and we're excited about it.
Yeah, looking forward to that. We'll see who wins in a couple of months. I think it's spring when they announce the winners for that. I think March or April.
Could be. If you've got some great audio from last year, it's time to start digging it out and getting your award entries ready, because the New Yorks are the first ones that are open.
Excellent.
Right. Well, thank you, Roy. Here's to another busy week in radio, because I'm sensing it could be.
Yes. And good luck to Chris Evans. Not that he's listening to this podcast, but good luck to everybody and anybody involved with it.
Broadcast Bionics brings you Phone Box, Oasis, Virtual Director, and many more innovative solutions for creative radio people. Come to bionics.co.uk and find out more.
Now to the story of one of the world's smallest radio stations, community radio station Radio Silly, and operators Beth Milton and Steve Sims have said they can no longer run it, and the station will start to close from the 1st of March if someone to take it on isn't found. And the reason that they've given is that running the business side of things has become more work than they anticipated, and their personal circumstances mean that they don't have the time. Well, we can talk to Kerry Jones, a former station manager of Radio Silly, the man who set it up back in 2007. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello, Stuart.
So tell us just how small this radio station is, first of all.
Okay, the Isles of Scilly have a population of 2,152 people who are spread across five inhabited islands about 28 miles off the southwest coast of England, off Cornwall.
Wow, so tiny, tiny population, and I presume a good chunk of those people do listen to this radio station.
Well, I can only obviously refer to my time there. I've not been on the islands for 2 years, but at the time, yeah, it was a station that was listened to and a sustainable social business.
And how much work was it to run? Was it a lot of work?
Yes, quite a lot of work. I mean, it's not the sort of opportunity somebody would take up because they want to play radio stations. It's a community radio station. I think that's really important because I know that the chance to take on the station and hopefully keep it going has been promoted on social media. But if somebody saw this opportunity and they started thinking about running it, and their first thoughts were to jingles, automation systems, airing a top 10 at 10 and taking syndicated chart shows, that's not what it's about. This is all about social gain, serving an underserved community on an isolated, offshore, rural community. It's about immersing yourself in the community and living and breathing the Isles of Scilly. You've got to do it from the islands. You've got to be somebody that's okay about going to lots of public meetings, council meetings. It's all about storytelling and getting involved with locals and trying to get people engaged with the station rather than traditional local radio skills, I'd say. So you're basically full on. It's one of those communities where there is one person in each role primarily, and you would be the radio station person.
And having had a little listen here and there, there's a lot of speech content. There's a lot of details, weather forecasts, type times, that kind of stuff.
Well, certainly, again, I refer back to my time there. I was presenting a five-hour daily programme, which was possibly 40, 45% speech. It's not a jukebox. You've got to cover all of the local issues. The important thing about a radio station in the Isles of Scilly, even though there's only 2,000 people there, it is effectively its own county council with special additional powers. So the Isles of Scilly Council is parish council sized, but looks after the education authority. It looks after, at the moment, the water supply, an airport, social services, all those things that major county councils look after. So people are making decisions which impact on all islanders' lives. And when I was there, it was the only conduit for information, usually, about what was happening and the decision-making process. And as a community station, obviously encouraging participation in civic matters and creating an interest in local democracy is one of the key targets. So that's what it was all about.
And I'm guessing it was quite an idyllic place to live and work as well.
I'll be honest, it's fantastic in the summer. It's incredibly tough to live on the islands in the winter. And life became more difficult when the helicopters ceased operation. And that was primarily my decision to leave running the radio station after being there for 9 years, because when it was just the fixed wing planes, often you'd wait in the winter 2-3 weeks to be able to get off the islands. And it meant that you couldn't plan a holiday unless you had time on the mainland kicking your heels sometimes for a week before you departed from Heathrow or Gatwick. So that's quite difficult, and it's very, very quiet in the winter. Summer is just one of the most beautiful places on earth, and I have travelled widely with a more recent role. Scilly is stunning, but you've got to live there all year round, and it can be really tough from the end of October through to March.
And what was it that took you there in the first place?
I went there just out of curiosity, and this was in the mid-1990s, and I bumped into an old friend. I used to run RSLs in West Somerset. It just so happened that I discovered somebody that, for a conversation that I used to work with, lived on the islands, somebody I used to work with in West Somerset, not in radio, but in a local authority role. I went to see her and she said, "You should do a radio station here. It'd be a right laugh." So I started doing the RSLs and had it in my contract at Radio Pembrokeshire when I was running that I could have my little busman's holiday on the rock in the Atlantic. And when community radio came about, it was actually possible that there could be a sustainable radio station for the islands, which was never, of course, something that the Radio Authority could have entertained under their legislation, because there's no way a commercial business can be sustainable on a population of 2,000. But we made the not-for-profit community radio station sustainable in the time when I was there. So it can be done.
And it's funded by a lottery, is that right? A part funded by a lottery?
Yeah, the station, I mean, well, again, referring to the time when I was there, we had about 35 grand a year in advertising income. And the rest of the money came from a not-for-profit community lottery that was set up, which also gave money to good causes on the islands and gave £1,000 to somebody on the islands or somebody up country each week. And that was important because a lot of people who are interested in the Isles of Scilly, people who come over for second homes or for holidays, could listen to the radio station and wanted to listen to the radio station because they had a sense of being on the islands. And the lottery was the way in which they could support the station by playing for £1 a week. I don't know what the numbers are like for the lottery now, because in the past couple of years, for all sorts of reasons, the station has not been as proactive in what it's doing in terms of promotion and marketing and maintaining some of the things that you can do if you've got somebody across it full time. But I mean, that is still an operation, so it could be a source of income that matches the commercial income for the radio station and could take it forward.
And how involved were the audience when you were there? Was it something that people were very involved with?
Yeah, there was, and I think all radio stations saw this, a sort of tapering off of interaction when social media became big. But certainly a lot of people got involved with program making. We had lots of programs like a book club that had a rotating group of volunteers, about 30 people in total, that used to come and take part in an hour long book program once a week. And we used to count up volunteer numbers and numbers of people participating, and it was a high degree of the population. There would be a couple hundred people who would actually actively come into the station over the course of a year and take part in program making, in a population of just over 2,000 residents, and that's people of all ages from cradle to grave. So it was a high degree of participation.
And people not in the Isles might recognise it from being on the telly as well, because you were featured on BBC in 2008, I think it was.
Yeah, that was good fun. We were followed by an island parish on BBC Two, and that included the setup of the radio station, and they followed me out to Milan, where I got some jingles made for the radio station, which was quite an experience, but they found it quite entertaining. So it was good fun. It was good profile for the radio station. Island Parish was very good for Scilly and helped the tourism economy, which is the most important thing there is there. I think it's something like 96% of the island's economy is tourism reliant. So to have that shop window on BBC Two in the middle of winter every week for 8 weeks for four or five series, That really did make a difference to the island's economy and helped the radio station too.
So if anybody's seen the thing on radio today, or they're listening to this and they think, oh, I could give that a go, what kind of skills do you think somebody might need to go and run that radio station?
You need to be interested in news. You need to be interested in community affairs. You do not need to be somebody that's interested in the anoraki side of radio. Fun as it is, if you're worried about segues and formats and clocks, it's not for you. You should be able to interview everybody and anybody and make engaging radio out of what can be, on the face of it, quite mundane topics. But it's all about holding a candle up to the islands and reflecting what goes on around Scilly and making people feel involved and part of it. You've also got to be a salesperson. You've got to be able to sell the advertising and keep advertisers happy. So it is a multifaceted role. But I can't stress this enough. It's not for wannabe station managers who want to have the first radio station. It would ideally suit somebody that has an experience of working with community groups or is more comfortable in a speech radio environment, because that's the sort of radio that, in my view, the Isles of Scilly's community station should be. It's not a commercial station.
And I guess for you personally, it would be a big shame if it ended up shutting down.
Yeah, I mean, when you leave a station that you've been very much involved with, a radio station is like a pub, isn't it? And you're the landlord and landlady during your tenure, if you like. And they always say you shouldn't go back to a pub that you've run before, because changes might not be to your liking. So I haven't listened to Radio Scilly since I left. So things do change, but there is opportunity there, and I've got good memories of the station and lots of things I'm very proud of. And it would be a shame if, particularly in this day and age when local print media is offering less and less, particularly for isolated communities, it would be a crying shame if this community service ceased to be.
Well, it's lovely to catch up with you, Kerry, and we do hope it continues into the future. And all the details for people to get in touch with the station if they're interested in taking it on are on radiotoday.co.uk. Nice to talk to you.
Thank you, Stuart.
That's Kerry Jones on the Radio Today programme. David Lloyd's Radio Moment still to come, and James Quidland here in a minute. First, a quick word about Clean Feed. If you've not tried it out yet, it is something you should really get round to doing this month. If you're doing OBs, interviews down the line, co-hosting a show from somewhere different to usual, Clean Feed could help you out. It's been designed for podcasters and for radio people, and it's really simple to connect live, decent quality audio over the internet. And you can even record within the browser. It won't cost you anything to get started, and Clean Feed only takes 30 seconds to sign up, and within minutes you'll be doing your first live interview or recording for your show. Find out more about it at cleanfeed.net. That's cleanfeed.net.
I'm James Cridland, the radio futurologist.
Well, what have you just put on your head? Yes. Well, actually, no, I'll rephrase that. What have you just put on your head?
Try to listen to the new season of Fortunately, a podcast from the BBC, and you'll be told you can't.
We should be here because we used to be here, but we're not here anymore.
Fortunately is a show that the BBC produces, which never makes it onto the radio. Instead, it follows the same genre as many podcasts do. Two friends chatting over a coffee with a special guest. The friends in this case are Fee Glover and Jane Garvey, two broadcasters who share the same kind of humour. The podcast itself is recorded in the coffee shop in the BBC Piazza, the public space outside the BBC's gleaming broadcasting house in central London. Last year, the BBC launched a new smartphone app.
BBC Sounds.
Called BBC Sounds, it contains bespoke content like this, as well as radio shows on demand and live, and some music mixes. Mistakenly, the app was launched before it had reached feature parity with its predecessor, BBC iPlayer Radio. It's also not available outside the UK, and it's not doing very well in the reviews. BBC Sounds requires listeners to register before they can listen, just like Spotify. And this offers personalisation opportunities, one would assume, but it also means that the BBC have been focusing on how to increase what's known in technology circles as the MAU, the number of monthly active users, believing that this is a key performance indicator of the success of the app. The drive for a higher MAU number isn't by itself a bad thing. Along with measuring the overall time in-app, which should similarly increase, it's an important measure of how successful the app is. However, it's a fine line between encouraging listeners to use the app and bullying them to. Which brings us back to Fortunately, which started a new season this week, but you'll not be able to listen to it on anything other than the BBC Sounds app. The podcast has been withdrawn from all other podcast apps and replaced with a rather plaintive message.
Fortunately, it is now available exclusively on the BBC Sounds app.
Good business sense, you might be thinking, which is a valid point of view, except what business is the BBC actually in? Its core area of expertise is making great radio and TV shows. Further, its money comes in the main from the UK's licence fee payers, who've already paid for this programme to be made. And the most important measure of success for the BBC, surely, is how many people consume and enjoy its programmes. And to that end, withdrawing programmes from other platforms is short-sighted. There's a limit to how many apps people will install, and while pulling shows into your old walled garden might be a strategy for some, audiences should really be drawn to your app because it's really good. It offers great recommendations and works brilliantly. If you need to bully audiences to install a new app by taking things away from them that they've already paid for anyway, well, maybe you're doing it wrong. You can get my weekly newsletter at james.crid.land and daily podcast news at podnews.net. And until next time, keep listening. Now, on the Radio Today programme, here's David Lloyd. Radio
Moments. Some programmes in British radio from decades ago are still very well recalled for a time and place in our culture. In a 1950s world where the only pop stations were being beamed in from overseas, there was a warm welcome for a rare show on the BBC Light programme, giving airtime to fresh artists. It was called Saturday Club. It began as Saturday Skiffle Club in 1957.
Hello, me old mateys. I'm very glad you could come along this morning. And we're kicking off straight away this week with a double event, a 21st birthday and a wedding. and both of them happening to Christine. So I'm told by Chris Clark and...
Partly for its sort of rarity value, insofar as there were not pop music programmes all day, every day, to be received. There were no pirates, of course. The BBC certainly didn't put out anything like the amount of pop music it does now, anything like it did with Radio 1. So there was that one... For pop, for kids and pop fans, it was that one highlight in the week every Saturday morning. So that made it special, made it important. It had an audience which, by today's measurement, because of the proliferation of choice, was unthinkable. I mean, it would sometimes be as much as 25, 30 million people.
The BBC were a touch cautious about a programme for young people, but they tried it out. It had a budget of £55 per week, and Brian Matthew, who'd been a newsreader, was the announcer. It featured records and live acts, then getting round the limits on needle time by live performance, creating an accidental unrivalled archive.
And the stars who've come along to join us in the party are, for the first time ever on British radio, the Everly Brothers, Frank Ifield, Kenny Ball's band, Joe Brown, Clinton Ford, Tommy Rowe, Kathy Kirby, The Beatles, and many more. Of course, you're invited too, so come on, everybody.
Saturday Club ends, and we'll tell you right now that our guests next week include... Kiki D...
Saturday Club, known best for Brian Matthews' spell on it, there hosted by Keith Skews, as it was when it transferred to Radio 1. The programme ended after serving its purpose this week, 50 years ago. 15 years ago, LBC was finding its feet again. Nick Ferrari had just started his breakfast show, and the policy of having politicians hosting programmes as opposed to guesting on them began. With the PM.
LBC 97.3.
Call Tony Blair.
Right, this is Tony Blair on LBC 97.3. I'm taking your calls on 0870 90 90 973. And the next call is from Kate in Holloway, near where I used to live.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Tony Blair on LBC this week in 2004, his first ever live radio show, all part of the government's Big Conversation initiative, if you remember that. LBC, of course, launched in 1973, and it was this week that year that those commercial radio transmitters were turned on for the very first time. Testing, testing.
These tests are in preparation for the opening of independent local radio in London this autumn. 539 metres medium wave and 95.8 VHF will carry the general service of Capital Radio. And 417 metres medium wave and 97.3 VHF will carry the news services of the London Broadcasting Company, although tests have not started yet on 97.3 VHF.
And of course Capital and LBC keep both their names and their FM frequencies to this day. Last week, here in 2019, the new Greatest Hits Radio and Classic Rock took over the West Midlands AM frequencies. Those frequencies have carried a number of stations in their long history. In Wolverhampton and the Black Country, they began in the 1970s by carrying Beacon radio programmes. But 30 years ago this week, they got their own identity for the very first time.
Britain, yeah, Germany,
England,
Libya,
America,
Yugoslavia,
Iceland,
Russia,
Liechtenstein,
Austria,
Albania,
Cambodia,
England,
France,
Japan.
From all over our globe, this is WABC's World at One. Good afternoon, I'm Bob Lawrence.
Radio nice and easy. WABC.
WABC, which launched this week in 1989. The first play to be commissioned, especially for the wireless here in Britain, was called A Comedy of Danger. It aired this week in 1924. The chap who wrote it was called Richard Hughes. He was 23, trying to get his head round writing for this new medium, so he set the play down a coal mine where the lights went out. So there wasn't a great deal to bother describing because it was dark.
We shall suffocate or starve or both, my dear, in each other's arms.
Oh. Jack.
Even death shall not part us.
Oh, Jack, don't. It's too awful.
Our poor young lives cut so short.
Oh, don't. Don't.
There'll be articles in all the newspapers.
Oh, I wish I could read them.
You can't have your funeral and watch it, young lady.
Oh, this is fun. I wouldn't have missed it for anything.
The development of the radio play in the long run depends upon three things. Intelligent listening, informed criticism, and good writing for the microphone. Too many authors who've hawked plays round for years seem to say to themselves, oh, well, it's no go. Let's bung it along to Savoy Hill. And they do. I wonder if they ever realize that a play written with a real eye to the medium of the microphone is so rare that its appearance is hailed almost with shouts of joy.
Head of programmes Val Gielgud. He was the elder brother of Sir John Gielgud. 1950 now, and something new, Just Before Woman's Hour, which was then aired on the Light programme.
Are you sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin.
Listen with Mother. And we did. Stories, songs, nursery rhymes. I remember the one that went hobble-dee-dee, hobble-dee-dee, down into the ditch. It was on, well, it moved to the BBC Home Service, which became Radio 4, and at that stage sounded a little bit like this.
This is the BBC for mothers and children at home. Are you ready for the music? When it ends, Eileen Brown will be here to speak to you.
Come on, Eileen. A celebration of Listen with Mother, which began this week 69 years ago. Its famous opening words were originally ad-libbed by Julia Lang. They become stuff of legends now. This week last year, sad news from BBC WM.
It's 12 o'clock and I'm Caroline Martin, and it's with a heavy heart that I have some sad news to share with you. Our colleague, friend and BBC WM presenter Ed Doolan has died. He was 76. He passed away in his sleep this morning, and his wife Christine was with him. Now, Ed was a legendary broadcaster in the Midlands, and I've got to know him over the years. We know that he has battled with dementia, and today we are going to share our memories of him together. Now, it's going to be a tough one to get through.
So I'm trying to look for a shop anywhere where I can get old typing ribbon for them.
Okay. There's an outfit in the Dudley area.
Yeah.
Called Brierley Printers.
Yeah.
But phone them up on 01384.
Hang on, let me write that down. 01384.
482. 01384. Yeah.
Yeah. 482-109. Can I read that back to you? Because I'm terrible at missing out numbers. 01384-8109. Have I missed the 4 out?
You missed a hell of a lot out. Start again.
Go on then.
Ed Doolan, a hugely respected broadcaster in the West Midlands from his time at BRMB and BBC WM. He died in January last year. So with Radio Aid across UK commercial radio 14 years ago.
Thank you very much, Elliot, there in Birmingham. It's now 9:18. I'm with Kate Thornton.
I'm with Chris Evans.
Juice in Liverpool becoming Capital 3 years ago.
It's 8 minutes past six. This is your brand new radio station, Liverpool. It's Capital Breakfast with Adam, Gemma and Imogen.
And Simon Bates moving to BBC Radio Devon 4 years ago.
This is new to me. Radio Devon is new to me. I am delighted and thrilled to be here.
Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Thank you, David and James and Roy and Kerry Jones this week as well. Next week, Chris Evans' new boss, the programme director of Virgin Radio UK, Francis Curry, hopefully on the podcast to tell us about his new breakfast show.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creating and distributing clever software for radio.